This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Today's guest is going to be Katie Bowman, and we had a fascinating discussion with this woman, and we were just talking before we got on the air. Boy, she lives a busy life, and she's got a lot of movement going on in her life. So on the line today, it's myself, Margot, and we have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hi.
And Kristen, you're a big fan of hers, correct? You were reading her books before?
Yeah, the first one, which I think I talk about the interview, but I read one of her books a few years ago, and it really changed the way I approached my my entire workspace specifically. So I kind of thought I would go into this and just be like, yeah, I know, I've heard it, it's cool, and just, you know, get to fangirl a little bit. But no, like, I totally learned stuff. So it was a really interesting interview.
So she kind of blew my mind with some of her ideas for how she increases movement in her life. And I want to leave a couple of surprises for you guys. You know, you just need to hear it for yourself. But I'm just going to say one that blew my mind is that she actually got rid of her couch. So in order to decrease the sitting and lying around, you know, when they were watching TV, so they would do other stuff and watching TV, like, do you think you can give up something like that? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I could not.
I've thought about it. There have been so many evenings where I'm like, maybe I'll just sit on the floor for a little bit and pretend the couch isn't there. Like, I'll try to be like Katie Bowman. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go sit on the couch now. I mean, it's just, it's so cool. Like, everything that she said just made me rethink, like, basically me doing anything all day long, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because her whole thing is, I don't, for anybody not familiar with her, like, she's a movement expert, and she's all about, like, increasing functional movement with, you know, not necessarily through things you do at the gym, but by the way you live your life, which is why, you know, she's like, yeah, you don't need a couch. You can just crouch down and watch TV. And I'm like, you guys, I can't. You know how in yoga you do the yoga squat?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my knees literally don't do that. Like, absolutely not. And so, of course, I'm listening to her, and all I'm thinking is, if I had been doing this stuff when I was younger, what would my movement look like now? Like, would I have saved some of the wear and tear on my knees because I would have had maybe better motion? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but it's definitely like, I don't think I could give up my couch, but I do give up my desk chair for portions of time, not necessarily all day, but I like my standing desk.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one too, and I really like it. And I don't know if I told you guys this, I have like a balance board that I stand on top of the, so I give it a
nice
to try to challenge my core a little bit. But because I was at for a while there, like sitting, cause I work from home like you do, you both do, excuse me. You could be in your chair for like 6 hours at a time, you know, just being in
easy.
And then you try to walk and your hamstrings are killing you. And it's basically undoing what you did working out all day. So Katie's basically idea is that you can incorporate movement with all aspects of your life, including grocery shopping, going there and back. she's hardcore. Let's just say this. You guys are going to really learn a lot today. She's a smart lady and she's very hardcore. And one of the things she actually brought up was movement ecology. And I felt a lot of shame because she's like, well, you go to the store and they have the things all pre-chopped for you. Somebody had to chop that. That's how I cook, you guys. Like, my stuff's, everything's pre-chopped. So I'm trying to think of ways like I can clean up my movement ecology. Is there any way you think you can clean up movement in your own life?
Yeah, I thought a lot of her stuff about like walking to go do errands and just like instead of trying to fit everything in, like just make everything else more difficult. So that's your workout, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that like, I mean, all of her stuff on chopping the vegetables was so true. But if it's like, if that's the difference between me not like making a healthy dinner, then I feel like you can just go out of like both sides.
Well, in chopping those vegetables, like having those pre-chopped and then making a meal, you're still providing more movement to your meal than you would be if you like ordered takeout. right?
Went out.
So I mean, there's like good, better, best with this.
Yeah.
Like, Katie,
I mean, really, like, you should be growing your food outside, and then you're outside and you're harvesting and you're picking it and you're doing everything. I mean, that's like the real workout. But I think that was one of the most interesting parts of that whole conversation with her was just all of the convenience that has been added into her lifestyle has now made it so that we're so busy and we do so little in terms of our health and wellness that we have to like fit it in.
Right.
Yes.
Used to just be there, you know, just used to be part of our everyday. So I don't know. I feel like as a mom with a toddler, like I know you hear this from like moms all the time. You're like, oh my God, what do you do for your workout? I chase around my toddler. But like, no, literally yesterday, Gwen was running around outside and she was forcing me. Like she was grabbing my hand. She wouldn't let me do anything else. Like, no, you're not making dinner. No, you're not checking email. You're not doing anything. I'm going to grab your hand. I'm going to pull you outside and we're going to run around on the back porch for like half an hour. Like,
wow.
So I'm like, well, there's my workout. And then she'll demand that I do burpees. She'll be like, burpee, mama. Get down and do burpees.
Talk about FBG problems.
Hello.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I do think that, like, when you have little, like, rambunctious kids around and they just have tons of energy, then, I mean, yeah, there have been days where I'm like, gosh, I kind of wish I honestly hadn't done that hard workout earlier because I feel like I need the energy to run around and play with my daughter.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, the other thing that I think comes into play with some of her suggestions, specifically regarding, you know, like walking to places and taking the riding in the car out of the equation, is like that depends on where you live.
Sure.
That was, I will say that when about 2 years ago, when my husband and I moved, one of the things that I really was taking into account was how walkable or bikeable are different things. You know, can I get to a grocery store without having to get in my car? And for us, like getting to the beach, especially when during season here, when it's crazy busy and it takes, you know, half an hour to go 3 miles, you know, can we just hop on our bikes and ride down there and, you know, blow by all the people sitting in cars and, you know, get a workout while we're at it. And that was a huge draw to the area that we moved to. And, you know, we have restaurants and grocery stores and, you know, just all kinds of different shops and things that are, I mean, I walk or bike to them pretty often. So I felt pretty good about that when she was talking about things. Although I do drive my car down for grocery shopping more often than maybe I should. But I mean, things are heavy, guys.
Oh, hell yeah, they are.
Things are heavy. Things are heavy.
I don't want to carry a cat litter.
No.
I do not.
No. And sometimes I send out for stuff. Like, I have them send home the cat litter because it's like 25 pounds a box, and I'm not, you know, walking that 2 miles back to my apartment. I'm not going to do it. Or sometimes I flag a cab, you know, after I do my grocery shopping. But I do try as often as I can to carry the groceries home if I can. I mean, living in New York, that is a nice thing. I mean, it's a very walkable place. When I visit my mother, who lives up near Reno, Nevada, whenever I visit her, it's like, oh my God, if we're going to go to the grocery store, it's like, all right, get in the car. And it takes like 20 minutes to get there. Yeah. And, you know, it's a whole thing to go to Target or something. So I like where I live because I like to move around. So yeah.
I will say that this interview did make me feel better about it made me enjoy cleaning a little bit more. Because I was just like, okay, like I'm not, because normally it's just like, oh, I don't want to clean, da 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 da. Like I had really been putting off like cleaning the bathroom, the shower, and like the tub because it was just like so much scrubbing. It was so gross.
Oh,
I was looking on and I was like, no, Katie Bowman, like get in there, scrub, you know, like bust out the vinegar and, you know, I used the natural stuff so that I thought that was like in the spirit of the interview. But it was really like, it helped me like embrace that burn, you know, and not be annoyed by it. It'd be like, hey, this is activity that you're doing today. And hey, you know, perk, you're going to have a clean bathroom that you're going to feel really good about. So.
You know, it's funny that she mentioned in the interview where, you know, sometimes we only count intense exercises or intense movement as exercise. Like we think walking as being passive or whatever, but it's not true. Like walking is exercise. It's, you know, in every way you think of exercise. Do you ever fall into that trap as well? Like unless it's like super intense, you didn't do anything?
Yeah, I kind of do. I feel like, oh, walk the dog. Oh, ran with Gwen. Like, oh, that's kind of stuff. But unless I like went to the gym, it's like I don't get that. I don't get to check that off my list.
Right.
Like in my head mentally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That really, when she said that, I was just like, yeah. Yeah. And so then on those days that you are not going to go to the gym or whatever, even if you're not going to give up your couch and like totally Katie Bowman lifestyle, it's just nice on those days to be like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to make a point to sit less on the couch.
Right.
And maybe walk an errand. I think all of her stuff was so inspiring because it was like, there's kind of like no excuses for that. You know,
right.
There's no excuses to not make your day more active and engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. So why don't we just get into today's show? We've got a lot to talk about with her, and she's a great interview. So why don't we just roll right into it?
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Katie Bowman is a part biomechanist, part science communicator, and full-time mover, and has educated hundreds of thousands of people on the role movement plays in the body and in the world. Blending a scientific approach with straight talk about sensible, whole-life movement solutions, her website and award-winning podcast, Katie Says, reaches hundreds of thousands of people every month, and thousands have taken her live classes. Her newest book is Movement Matters, Dynamic Aging. She is passionate about human movement outside of exercise. She also directs and teaches at the Nutritious Movement Center Northwest in Washington State. She travels the globe to teach courses in person and spends as much time as possible outside with her husband and children. She is here today to talk about her new book and movement ecology. Welcome to the show, Katie Bowman.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this is Margot, and on the line today we have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hello.
So, Katie, I'm going to ask you the first question, if you're good with that.
Sure.
So we're talking about movement throughout the day, and a lot of people sort of segment 1 hour for exercise. And then I know this as an instructor, and we're all like fitness people here. We have our students, they work for 1 hour and then work out for 1 hour, and then they go to an office for 8 hours and just sit. You know, and then they go home and then they sit. So how are ways people can think beyond that 1 hour day of exercise to increase movement?
Well, you know, I feel like the most general, I don't think it's a new idea, but I feel like what's that old tip that people always give? Park in the farthest parking lot, right? When you drive to the gym, don't drive around 5 times waiting for the spot right in front, but park a little bit farther away. And then I like to up the ante on that a little bit, which is maybe walk to some of your destinations. Or if you drive your kids to school, could you drive partway and walk the rest of the way with them? And I think a lot of times that invokes the, I don't have time. I don't have time to do that kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of strategies of looking at your daily life and to see how you can do more than one thing at once. Like maybe if you take conference calls, could you walk while taking those conference calls? Could you save up maybe family calls that you need to make? And instead of sitting in your house and doing them, could you do them on the go? If you're a reader, you know, if you're finding yourself enjoying consuming books or learning through books, maybe swap some books for audiobooks and get out more while you do it. And then you could also look at where are you most sedentary? We're often most sedentary at the office. So creating things like a standing workstation is probably what people are most used to hearing now, you know, get out of the chair and stand. But I like to promote dynamic workstations where it's not only maybe standing at a standing work desk, but if you have a laptop, sitting on the floor with it, putting it on a low table or a coffee table, and while you're sitting there working, stretching your body out in different ways. You know, you could sit in a V sit or you could sit with your legs crossed. And a lot of times what we do for exercise looks like the things that you just do on the floor if you were to sit on the floor, right? You know, like instead of going for particular yoga classes where you're learning stretches, if you don't only have that 1 hour, when I sit on the floor and work on my laptop, if you had a camera on me, it would look like I was doing, you know, a version of a yoga or a stretch class, but I was also getting my work done. So those are just a few ways that I like to suggest fitting in more movement outside of that 1 hour you allot to exercise.
Katie, last year I reviewed another one of your books, which was Don't Just Sit There. Mm-hmm. And it's all about transitioning from just kind of sitting in your office to creating a standing and dynamic workplace, like you were just talking about. And I'm not even going to lie, like it sort of changed my life. Like I had gotten a standing desk and I actually, I just Instagrammed my workspace because I like cleaned up and everything for this interview because I'm like, well, if I'm talking to Katie, I kind of have to But one of the biggest takeaways that from that book for me was that you recommended people not just sit in one position and not just stand in one position, like you just said, but, you know, move and do different things. And I just wondered if you could maybe go a little bit more into, people are familiar with the standing workspace and they are thinking, well, I'm up, you know, that's a better position than sitting. Can you go a little bit more into why just standing in one position also isn't so awesome?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, when the, you know, sitting kills headlines kind of came out, everyone's like, oh, get out of the chair. And then, like, I'll just stand. Like, I'm safe as long as I'm not in the chair.
Yes, but, totally.
Yeah, right. It was like, you know, so I think what got lost in that message was that it's being in one position, not moving. That was the problem. Sitting makes not moving very easy on you. Standing certainly loads your body differently than sitting. And I do recommend a transition out of your chair to work, if only part-time, while you're standing. But then I want to expand upon that idea, which is you can still be moving while you are sitting or standing. And the way you have to think about it is changing position. Like, movement really means that you're changing position. Something has toggled a little bit, right? There's got to be some sort of movement. So yes, while you're sitting in a chair, the classic sitting is, you know, your bottom's in the seat and your knees are directly over your feet and both of those are on the floor. But you could sit in your chair cross-legged, or you could cross one leg over and then reverse to the other side, and you could tuck your pelvis and untuck your pelvis and shift your hips from side to side. And I think it's kind of a little tangent that a lot of us got in trouble for being fidgety. Like, fidgety and shifting position is kind of, in our culture, associated with a lack of concentration, maybe even bad behavior, if you will. You know, mm-hmm. So I think we've
You're
kind
so
of
right.
bred out. Yeah, and so we've disciplined it out instead of recognizing that there's this natural mechanism of, this is hurting me. I have, like, it's not good for the tissues to be still. And so we have this natural shifting mechanism, but we kind of systematically eradicate it during, you know, the school years, because it doesn't work, you know, for a teacher trying to get his or her job done, like dealing with a bunch of squirmy kids. And so we're kind of left as adults now with this, you know, education, the stillness education. We're all excellent sitters. We're all the ninjas of sitters, the award-winning sitting. But, you know, when you give yourself permission, that fidgeting and going, you know, I really got to stand up and shift my weight from side to side, or, you know, if you are at a standing desk, a lot of people transition to standing, which we don't think of as an athletic feat, but being on your feet for 7 or 8 hours is no joke. And then people are like, oh, my back was hurting, or my varicose veins got worse. And it's like, yeah, the whole reason we collectively went to chairs in the workforce was because we used to work, like, there used to be long industrial lines and people sat, and like sitting all of the time in a kind of a stationary position is arguably maybe different, but also harmful to your health. So with standing workstations, how can you make it a dynamic workstation? How can you have a few key pieces at your feet? Like, I'm looking down right now and I've got a yoga tuna ball where I can roll my feet out, and maybe you can't be in
those.
Yeah. And maybe you can't be, not everyone works from home. So there is, I always want to honor that traditional office setup, but you can put a half dome, which is like a foam roller cut in half, and put your ankle up on it. There's more ergonomic office friendly. It actually looks like real office equipment, mats to put at your feet that have contours so that you could be stretching your calves and moving your feet. You could open your legs a little bit and shift your weight from side to side. You can come up and down on your toes to keep your calves active. You can learn about you know, a better alignment when you're standing, and you can make sure you're not wearing 3-inch heels while you're standing mm-hmm. the whole day at your desk. So, like, there's a lot of strategies that keep you moving without displacing you away from your computer or wherever you're doing your work. So I think that we just think of movement as a whole body, like I have to leave the room, my arms and legs have to be pumping. But if you think about movement on a more subtle level, there's plenty of ways to work out on company time.
That's so cool. And I know that, I mean, it's like a whole entire different mix of philosophy, because we're so used to thinking about, you know, I'm going to go work out today and my workout is going to be leg day on Monday, and Tuesdays I'm doing abs, and Wednesdays I'm doing cardio. So for you, and like what you recommend, do you have like formal times that you quote unquote work out or like work on things, or is it all just fully 100% integrated into your all day, every day?
Well, I, you know, I came from a fitness background. I came from a bodybuilding athlete. I mean, I've done it all and done all types of training. However, despite all those ways of training, I really couldn't ever get beyond, you know, 90 minutes or 2 hours a day of exercise. And of course, those large, you know, 2+ hours were when I was younger and didn't have a family or kids or really even that big of a job, right? So that it was easier for me to get more movement when I was younger. But, you know, now that I'm in my 40s and I have 2 kids and I have a full-time job, and like it's that way hasn't worked for me really for the last 7 or 8 years. So I've been transitioning away from being an exerciser to being a mover. Both my husband and I have. I think it's a nice nod to say, you know, both of us were athletes before, where we got our workout in all the time. And now, through this kind of 7 or 8 year transition, we got rid of, you know, we got rid of our couches, you know, and things.
Wow.
You know, when I was pregnant with my son 6-7 years ago, I got rid of my couch because I was getting more busy. I didn't have the time to always take. I was, you know, always good at making sure I balanced, you know, my cardio and my strength and my flexibility type stuff. But I just found it more challenging to get all the things that I needed. So I got rid of my couch, and then I found without the couch, there I was on the floor. But, you know, if you sit around in a couch for, I hate to admit it, but, you know, by the time you add up, Netflix wasn't around then, but by the time you, you know, binge watch a couple of shows, like, and, you know, you watch your TV at the night, you know, you're, or on your laptop, you're sitting after work, after hours, in your enjoyable free time, you're sitting on the couch for like 3 hours. Just getting rid of the couch, I did hip stretches, right? I was just naturally squatting. I got in 100, 200 squats in a day simply by not having my couch. So I now move, I would say maybe fivefold. There's probably 6 hours where I'm doing things. If you didn't know the context that I was in a house, you'd be like, oh, she's squatting again. My squats are spread out over 6 hours. I'm not doing 50 in a row and then taking a shower and not doing anymore. So it's about the distribution of it all. You know, my walking, I don't go out for a 5-mile walk. I sometimes do, but I don't only do that. I also walk to the grocery store, walk to the post office, do a lot of my work calls or business calls. I'll just carry papers with me. And, you know, if you have to change your phone service, you know, all those calls that you put off because they're just long holds or whatever, I do all those walking. And so I just totally changed my mindset from exercise to movement throughout the day. And I still, you know, we still do athletic feats. We foregoed strollers for our kids, and they were but plus we were also walking to the store. So imagine kids and they weren't even like, not even carriers, in arm.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's hours and hours. Cause you know, initially I was like, oh, you know, I'm a new mom. I'm never going to get back to exercise, you know, in the way that I did. Cause you know, I didn't want to leave them and then I realized when you take a 3-mile walk with a kid in your arms, you know, like if you do CrossFit or you do something where you have to tie something to your body and like run and sprint, but you can stop whenever you want. Yeah. You can't stop. You have to get back home. You can't be like, you know what, I got to go early. And you just, you know, you don't do that extra rep, that extra set. You know, you just kind of, it's so easy to stop when you're fatigued. But when you train with movement, it was like, oh, I'm 4 miles from my house now. I got to get back. And you just turn around and hoof it. So it starts, you start not needing that willpower. You have to, you know, motivate yourself to exercise because it's part of your life and you have to get your life done. And so that's, eliminating convenience has been huge for abundant movement for us.
So with that, we have a lot of readers who kind of find FBG because other methods of like losing weight have just kind of made them miserable, or like, you know, they tried to yo-yo diet and it hasn't worked and everything's about deprivation and workouts aren't as fun. So they find us and they're like, oh my gosh, you should love yourself at every size and you should move your body because it makes you feel good and all these kinds of things. But I know just from that kind of background is that, and I used to fall in this camp, is just to have very like obsessive thoughts about about even like something like a pedometer, you know, be like, oh, I need to get this many steps in, and then you become really obsessed with that number. For women like that, do you have any tips? Because I could almost see like this way of life. I'm thinking about myself in like my 20s. And I think if I heard you saying all the things you were saying, I would become like obsessed with trying to fit in as much exercise in every part of my life as I possibly could, and possibly like wearing myself down because of it. Do you have any thoughts on that and tips for how you can still kind of find, you know, that balance of getting your activity, making a life work for you, but then also getting, like, I mean, some of the rest that you need?
Well, I think that the shift from exercise to what I'll call all-day movement really hinges on what the definition of exercise is. So exercise is movement done specifically with the intention of reaping the physical benefit. So you are lifting weights because, or you're, you know, you want specific muscles to grow, or maybe you want to improve your lean body mass, or maybe you're doing all of it because you want to decrease your fat mass, or you are walking 10,000 steps because, you know, someone told you that you should, or, you know, to keep your heart strong. Like, you're always, your mindset is always taking the activity that you're doing and making the purpose of the activity the physical benefit. With movement, though, movement is just anytime you're changing position. So non-exercise movement is when you're moving your body for the purpose of reaping a non-physical benefit, meaning I'm walking with my, I would set out for 3 miles, not because, oh, I have to log minutes. It was like, it's beautiful outside. I'm in the house. I'm feeling sluggish. I want the bonding time. Yeah. You know, with my son or my daughter, or a friend's going to come with me and I'm going to use that time to catch up with a friend, but also at the same time, you know, being out in nature and feeling relaxed and being in fresh air. Oh, and we're going to swing by the store and I'm going to pick up 2 or 3 items. And now I have checked something else off my list, which was I needed to go to the store anyway, but now I don't have to, you know, put the kid in and strap it and deal with all the stress of like wrangling everyone else. It can be fun. And so I have found that the balance to kind of obsessing about making sure you're getting your health in is to not focus so much on the external health benefit, but looking at the quality of the enjoyment of your life. Like, how easy are you getting to meet all of the needs? We all have demands, right? We all have to, you know, make a living and have family time and relationship time, and, you know, you're tending to your house and your food and your nutrition and all these things, but they're so fragmented, we're kind of running around trying to hit all of them. And I find that to be fairly stressful. I'm not an obsessive over numbers type person, but I tend to obsess over like what's the rightest way, right? What's the rightest or wrongest way to be doing something. And so I just found, you know, I think you could always, for that numbers person, just pick one thing. Just pick one thing, and you could do one thing a week. Maybe that thing is, you know what? I'm going to use my car less this week. And that's all you're doing. Like, you're not setting out to like move as much in your life. That's not the goal. The goal would be just to look at one variable. And then I'm going to forego bags, you know, like we'll throw a bunch of things. I go to the grocery store fairly regularly, and I'm trying to not use any plastic or paper or garbage, right? So because I shop frequently, I go small. I don't drive there. I'll walk there. So I have this rule. If I forgot my bags, my, you know, cloth reusable bags, I don't get to have one. I have to carry it in my arm. And it's not easy, but it's totally doable, right? Like, it's not hard using your arms, but we're just so used to outsourcing our physical movement to some convenience item. So I think just tuning into that at first, and then just allowing yourself one category at a time. Maybe you're going to not use your furniture for a week. Just sit on the floor. Feel what that work feels like and go, oh, I understand now floor sitting, and then let that go and try something else. And then you'll find, I think, maybe you don't always drop onto the floor after that point going forward because it's not the sit on the floor week, but you will have kind of a physical memory of it, and you'll choose floor sitting maybe 1 or 2 times more than you would have before you did that week of intensive exposure. It's kind of like the idea behind a screen-free weeks. You know, you do a big week of something concentrated really for the purpose not of deprivation, but of awareness. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that I was reaching for my phone 100 times an hour. I had no idea that, you know, like you do, it's to tune you into your own behavior. And once you tune into it, I think we're pretty good at altering a few things once we become aware of them.
Yeah. And I think for like a lot of, when you're talking about, I have a toddler, talking about a lot of kids, it's, you know, it is hard when you think about like how you're going to fit in. You said everything's very fragmented. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. It is hard to fit in like, oh, the healthy eating and the going to the store and all the errands and getting my workout in. But it is feel like a little bit of a load off where it's like, oh no, we'll just, you know, walk with your kids to the store, or instead of the stroller, like, yeah, carry him around. That is a serious workout.
It's a lot, but you know what happens is they learn how to walk really fast because you're like, guess what? Because you're motivated to do it. I mean, I'm motivated to do it. And I'm like, well, I need a break, so we'll just walk at a snail's pace. You have to, you know, we're so used to we only value or only count the movement that tends to be intense or fast. And so, right. I mean, I remember reading something online from a movement, you know, expert who said that walking wasn't exercise. And it was like, wow, just that mindset of walking to not be of something that counted towards your overall well-being. I think that's a disservice because we're really setting it up where so few things count. It's kind of that you're talking about your readers, you know, really feeling like there's no possible way I can get the movement that I need, because in order to get movement that counts, I have to find a babysitter, leave my family, be able to drive somewhere for that half an hour or hour workout. You need what, 20 minutes on either side to get to and from it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe you have to take a shower when you're done. You need a special outfit. You need a membership. You need a teacher. You need so many, there's so many hurdles set up to get what we have, what we now believe is the only thing that counts. We've lost sight of the fact that humans, and many humans now, we're only exercising because we've eradicated the necessary movement for our life. You got food in the refrigerator. Right. You have your heater on at 75 degrees all the time. You never even have to thermal regulate. Like, we've just made it, we've outsourced all of our necessary movement. You know, there's many people don't even like have a garden that they're out and tending to kind of on the weekends or after work, where there's lots of squats and bends naturally, that we're having to fake it in this high concentrated dose. And then when we skip that one dose because you have a sick kid or your boss needs something done, now you have no movement options, like, because you dose concentrated it so much, it's very easy to miss that high dosage. And so I'm really trying to bring back this idea that your body does not require the high dosage. Your body actually requires like eating one super meal, like one 2,000 calorie meal a day, is not the same thing as eating a little bit throughout the day. And it's the same thing. You know, your body, get up in the morning and go walk to around your block or find some way to get lots of little movement throughout your day. And slowly, I think I don't want to say the obsession with the exercise. There's a lot of negativity around exercise for a lot of people, because there's a lot of, you think of yourself as being undisciplined or like, oh, I missed it again. Like, there's a lot of negative looping around that exercise. And it's like, I think movement is not only much more feasible for people in the modern world to fit into their life than a high dose of single exercise is. And if you're good at getting the high dose, great. But I still think you need to expand movement outside of that high dose so that you're not sedentary, you know, 23 hours of the day with one bout of movement. This idea that you could be moving more through your life, not only for the sake of more movement, but for the sake of actually getting more out of your life by putting the movement back in.
You're kind of blowing my mind right now. there's so many great tips here. And I always say, like, I love living in New York because I get to walk everywhere. And it's fun for me. And I've broken up my shopping now. I used to do it once a week and get a whole bunch of shopping done. Now I go 3 times a week and I go to the Whole Foods, and I'm kind of a loser. I do buy a bag if I forget to bring an extra bag with me, but I have a closet now full of bags from grocery shopping. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about movement ecology, you know, how we strive to eat green. How about movement? How can we clean that up?
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of in the things that we were just talking about. Movement ecology is this idea that movement is part of the ecosystem, right? Where does your food come from? Like, if you go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, or I guess probably any grocery store now, mm-hmm. you would go to maybe the produce section and see that in the refrigerator you could buy already chopped, already cleaned vegetables, right? Yes, they have made it more convenient for you, but what has happened is someone has done the work. What is convenience? Convenience is, you could argue it's time, but you could also argue it's movement. The more convenient something is, the less movement it requires of you. But someone else has done that movement, and maybe you bought carrots and celery all, you know, chopped up. Now they come in a plastic container. There was a machine or a person somewhere, probably not on site, maybe even in a different country oftentimes. Maybe you get baby carrots, and maybe you don't know that in order to get baby carrots, there are people who just stand in an indoor factory all day and peel them to look like that, right? So we've kind of I talk about food a lot because food and movement are organically related and always have been. Like, the whole reason humans – you know, move is to get up in the morning to go find food, right? You are walking long distance for it. You're squatting, you're bending, you're digging. So like the biggest kind of study that came out, on the type of movements that I'm talking about, which are natural human movements in communities that are still living in nature, is the HASDA. So that was in the New York Times, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, where they were saying, oh, this group of people, which is arguably, they're very healthy. Their risk for cardiovascular disease is low, non-existent, really, based on the measures that we use. But how are they moving? And it turned out that they were doing low-intensity movement, which is like 40 to 55% of your maximum heart rate, really just easygoing stuff. 220 minutes a day of that. Then they had about 100 minutes of moderate activity. And then they had, you know, 4 to 18 minutes of high intensity activity as measured by their heart rate. But they were saying they're not sprinting or running, or they're not doing any sort of like rhythmic activity. The women's heart rates were coming up because of digging. Right, they're digging for tubers. Right, they're using their arms and their shoulders because they're looking for their food. And if you've ever gardened, you know that a bout of weeding will elevate your heart rate the same as if you were on a Stairmaster. Right, it's the same. You're bending and pulling. It's intense work. And also that they're carrying loads. They're carrying their water. They're breaking branches, collecting branches, moving their branches from point A to point B. Anyone who's ever stacked their own firewood or cut their own firewood knows that these are vigorous activities. They're not exercise because they're not done for the physical benefit. They're done for other things, like you need to get your food, you need heat. They are the remnants, like they're the last few movements that we have in a modern culture that can outsource most of its work. They're the last few ones that we have, and most people don't even have those anymore. You can just turn on and use fuel, you know, to heat your home. And so that's what movement outsourcing is someone somewhere has moved the oil and the fossil fuels and done the labor to dig and get them so that we have the convenience of just turning our wrist where we're used to hike, cut, carry, stack, bring in multiple times a day. So that's what movement ecology is understanding that the movement that we used to do is still being done today, but not by us. Someone else is doing it elsewhere, and thus we are left with, someone else is left burdened by our movement, and then we then still need the movement. So then we're like, now we're having to kind of fake those movements in, and we do it in the form of exercise. And so movement ecology is to go, wow, there's a lot of cost to outsourcing movement. There's a lot of ecological cost. There's a lot of human rights issues tied up with outsourced movement. So if you are thinking like, oh, how can I not only get more movement, but maybe tax the environment or other groups of people less, it's through reclaiming some of your own movement. So that's what movement ecology is all about.
Okay, so your new book is geared towards the 50-plus crowd. And I know some of our listeners do fall into that group, and a lot of our parents do. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I'm wondering, what are a couple of examples of movements or exercises that are specifically beneficial for that demographic?
Well, it's not the exercises that are in Dynamic Aging, for example, like which is like my 50-plus book. Mm-hmm. They're not really any different than the exercises that are in any of the books. It's just that the messaging is a little bit different. So I think common to, like, we'll call it senior fitness. We've changed the book Dynamic Aging was written with four women who are in their late 70s who started with me when they're in their late 60s. And they're all better movers now 10 years later, almost 80 years old than they were at almost 70 years old, which is kind of not the stigma that we're used to kind of perpetuating, right? You're supposed to just go downhill after that. So Dynamic Aging is a book that says one of the reasons that you are having so much difficulty moving as a goldener was the word that the septuagenarian authors came up with. Like, we don't want to be seniors. We want to be goldeners. Great. You're goldeners.
I like that. Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, it's goldeners. One of the reasons that you're having difficulty moving is not because your body is old. It's because you have had these sedentary habits that we're talking about, that all of us have. You've had them for longer. And so what typically comprises senior fitness is like really watered down regular exercise. Like, oh, just do it less, do it more gently. Where I'm saying you actually need to get vigorous. And it's great because you usually, when you're older and retired, have more time. Like, you don't have small kids any longer.
Yeah.
You're not working. You have more time, and it is more valuable to you to dial down. And so it's really, and it's calling again, like we talked about, to step outside of the exercises. The exercises in that book are really, there's so many exercises, but they're really ones targeting bone density and stability and balance, meaning that you are going to learn how to find your lateral hip muscles and your butt muscles, muscles that have been gone for decades, maybe strengthen your feet, stretch out your calves, learn better kind of all day alignment awareness so that you're not vulnerable to falling when you're moving. And you're not vulnerable again because you're older. You're more vulnerable because you are stiffer and weaker because of this longer duration. Like, your tissue still responds quite quickly. And that's why I like that the goldener stories are in there, because I can say that all I want, that no, really, you're not too old to get better, and this is not going to be too tough for you. But who's going to believe me? It was like, I'm 40 years old, 41 years old. You know, if you're 60 or 70, you're like, yeah, right. But these women are hiking national parks barefoot, they're climbing trees, they're doing crazy things.
It's awesome.
But it also, yeah, but it starts with where I start everyone, right? Which is, are you wearing high heels all the time? How stiff are your feet? If your feet are paining you in your 20s and 30s, that's an indication of how well you're going to walk really in your 60s and 70s.
Yep.
Fix that stuff now, you know? So that's what Dynamic Aging is about. And then it's got, yes, you're going to do these exercises, but guess what? You're going to stop driving through the drive-thru at the bank. You're going to walk in. You're going to get the benefit of walking in. You're going to get the benefit of standing in line, practicing your alignment and your stance. And you're going to get the benefit of connecting with another human being, right? You're going to look the teller in the face. You're going to be more involved in your community. Yes, you're going to walk, but you're not going to walk holding onto a treadmill all the time. You're going to go out into a park. You're going to learn how to negotiate lumpy, bumpy terrain. And you're not going to be vulnerable because we're going to give you better foot and hip strength so that, you know, when we get older, what do? We start making everything safer. Remove all the obstacles in your house. Always walk on danger, you know, uneven terrain, and then you lose the ability to deal with it. And
right,
that is risky. That's risky. So, you know, of course, there's lots of safe transitional steps, but that's the overall gist of the book is here are pages and pages of ways to move more. And then here's a whole bunch of exercises too, but here's ways to move more in your regular life. And I'm even throwing out things like, you know, don't always flop down in your lazy boy. You know, can you get up and down off the floor? Because when you can't, that's a big risk factor. So start doing it now. So it's the same stuff I tell 20-year-olds. It's the message and the order or the intensity of the exercises is geared a little bit to that group and the way that they need to hear it. But it's all the same stuff. We all need our wrists and our ankles and our knees and our hips all move the same way.
Yeah.
So there's not really a huge variation in the exercise types.
Katie, this is so fascinating and inspiring. I've got this whole list of other questions that I would love to get into, but I know that we don't have time for that today. So I think that just means we have to invite you back at some point.
Yeah.
But before we go, first I wanted to tell everyone, check out Katie's site, Nutritious Movement. And on there, there's under the About tab, there's a day in the life, and you get to actually see what it looks like for her to do all these things she's talking about, where, you know, she's sitting on the floor and has different types of workspaces, how she and her family get out and about and stay active and are just moving all the time. And it really is very cool. And then second, we have a question that we ask all of our guests at the end of our interview. And that is, what is the last song you listened to before you joined us for this podcast?
It's Oh What a Beautiful Morning from the Oklahoma soundtrack.
Oh, that's
my husband puts it on every morning.
What?
Oh, like a little morning ritual.
It's an honoring of the, I mean, we didn't even see the sun today, but it's just, it's kind of a, it's a traditional, maybe even an indigenous wisdom where you say good morning every day. You speak, you give a little bit of joy or appreciation. So that's a real, you can't put that song on and not be like, oh, I'm so thankful for the day. So there you go. That's it. I bet you weren't expecting that answer.
No, it's a great answer.
No, that's amazing.
We get Broadway show tunes. We get show tunes all the time, but not that one. That's pretty amazing. We get Hamilton a lot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're a fantastic guest. And Kristen's right. We have to have you back on because we both have a bunch of questions we still need to ask
sure.
you.
Sure. Well, we can do a follow-up. No problem.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks, Katie.
Have a great day.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book Versus Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.